Good evening. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14 and go to verse 13. Our text is going to be verse 13 to verse 21. Verse 13 says, "When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they said unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, 'Bring them hither to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that we have the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we pray that you would use the time that's been laid aside, Lord, not for the glory of each one of us, but for the glory of you, for the glory of your words, for your message, Lord. And Lord, that you would just fill each and every one of us, and that you would challenge each and every one of us, and that we would find something from the thoughts that you've prepared for us. Lord, I pray that you would just go with us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, some preachers, I often find it's very common, read their text, and then they pray. It's not common for me, but when I'm very nervous, it's whatever I end up doing. You know, I started to preach in March of 2016. And even today, standing in front of you, I feel weak-legged. I feel very weak and feeble as I'm trying to preach. And this was one of the hardest times I've had getting settled in a long time. Prepared thought after thought after thought, and listening to multiple different outlets. Like to listen to Brother Graber's YouTube channel a lot. He's got a lot of good studies that are readily available, and it's something I listen to. I do for devotions a lot. And the Lord just kept giving me things, and it was Thursday night, I think. I was just so unsettled. And I had found out that Brother John Chilowinski surrendered to preach just recently. And so John is my age, and I called and talked to him, and we had a good conversation, and he was doing the same thing. He was struggling. He found out he had to preach tonight, or this afternoon, and he was struggling. And I just sent him a text this morning and said, "Hey, praying for you, thinking of you." And he did the same, and shortly thereafter, the Lord gave me peace. And when I was talking to him on the phone on Thursday night, he expressed how unworthy he feels to be preaching. And I shared that with him. I think many times, if you teach, if you preach, if you're called to do something for the Lord, it's not something that you wanted to do, it's not something that you volunteered to do. It was a calling. And you feel very unworthy. And I told him, I said, the best thing you can do is just keep trying. Just keep trying to, you know, find the lesson. And I was having a hard time myself doing that very same thing. And he said, you know, it's so difficult to preach when you feel like you're trying to change people. And I said, not changing anybody. He didn't say that exactly, but that's the way he was hinting, you know, in his words. And so you're not changing anybody. You're preaching what the Lord gave you. When somebody, for me, and what I told him is, when I preach, the Lord's already beat me up. He's already given me the message. He's already made me struggle for it. He's already made me have to realize how much I needed it. But a lot of times that emotion doesn't come out until you preach and until you give it. So I want to talk about what is enough. What is enough for us? Back at the Thanksgiving conference in November, this is when this thought actually started for me. I didn't get to listen to Brother Lafferty preach. Brother Lafferty is one of my favorite people to listen to preach because he preaches with such power and emotion, and the Lord has worked on me in my life so many times listening to him preach. And he was talking about how we complain. He made mention about how we as a people complain, oh, gas is too expensive. You know, he used the comment, driving to the conference, did we complain about how expensive it was to get here? Did we complain about how much food it cost? How much time it took? How much time we had to take off work? How much our dedication to the Lord we had to give to do this? And then he said, and this is where my whole message comes from, this thought, or do we realize that we have enough? So what is enough? What are we doing to have enough? Well, there's a key, there's a little bit of a catch to that very statement that I just said. So let's flip over just for a second. I want to set the setting up. If you've heard me preach before, I'm big on... You could ask some teachers. One of them's here today. I was not a very good student, and my ability Literacy or literature was not my thing. I didn't comprehend things very well. But I have to start with the setting. So go to Luke chapter 9. And we'll get back to our text in just a second. But I want to set what's happening up for you, because each and every one of us has heard about the feeding of the 5,000. But let's talk about what happens before, so we can better understand the context of the message. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 through 10. Then he called, this is Jesus, his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils, and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread nor neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter in, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this, of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Verse 13 of our text in Matthew 14 says, when Jesus heard of it, John the Baptist was beheaded. He was in prison for some time, but he was beheaded at the request of a girl on a birthday. Jesus heard of it. He departed thence by a ship into a desert place apart. reason I read the other text is because he departed with the disciples. Now, they weren't running. I've seen commentary of why was Jesus running from Herod? He wasn't running. Herod couldn't have done anything to him that wasn't already ordained. And so he took the disciples and they went to a place apart. Why do they do that? Well, my first point is Jesus is enough to provide rest for the weary. See, we can get caught up in many things. And this is where I would say my first strike was, because I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm physically drained. I'm emotionally drained. My work is very difficult. I probably bit off more than I could chew on some areas of life at the moment. I'm tired. But do you know what? I wasn't turning anything over. So notice the theme in what we try to do. And what I want you to do is you can do what I did. I want you to put yourself in my shoes, or put yourself in the shoes of these disciples. Maybe not my shoes. That's difficult with each one of us have different things in life. Put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Because I had to put myself in the disciples' shoes. What do we do when we think that we are enough? We live in a day and a time and in a world where we think that we can be enough. But Jesus provides rest. These disciples were on a missionary journey. They took nothing with them. Everything was provided. You think about the very thought look at how we do mission work today. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I think it's absolutely fine. But we come up as missionaries and we want to do missionary work. And so what we do is we go to our church and we say, you know, we have this calling to do missionary work, which is not, again, I'm not saying any of this is wrong. And then we do deposition work and try to get support. And then we make this plan to go into the field so that we're supported enough to do the work, which I think is absolutely fine. Jesus gathered the disciples and said, go. Don't take anything with you. Don't take money. Don't take food. Don't take clothes. Don't even take a script. Go heal. I'm giving you all the power you need. Just go. So I believe that Jesus was providing a resting place in what he was trying to do. He was providing a resting place. Where they were going to this desert place would have been similar to a grazing on a hillside right by the sea. Go to Mark chapter 6. I was going to try to make sure I read the right passage this time. Since last week, my Proverbs reading was 10 chapters off. Verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into the desert place by ship, privately. So we see they've had provisions and instructions for the journey. It was a difficult journey. It was a dangerous journey. I believe that the disciples were affected physically by the journey. I believe they were affected emotionally by the beheading of John because they were human. I try not to humanize what the scriptures say. I try not to put things in the scriptures that aren't there because the scriptures are black and white. But I believe they were human. And they needed a rest. And so when we need to realize that Jesus is enough, we need to start by realizing that we can take our burdens to Him. We can find Him for rest. We can seek Him for rest. There's so many things in this world that is taught so wrong. And just the very thought of, I guess I would say the very thought of, you know, self-help and things like that. I'm not saying that's wrong. But be careful of anything that starts with self. Because that means you're doing something that God, that you think that God isn't going to do. You know, I've got to take care of myself. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. For the last 5 weeks, I've been saying I a lot. And it hasn't gotten me anywhere. Literally, anywhere. Spiritually, I believe these disciples needed Jesus' guidance and comfort. They did the work. But when do we not need Jesus' guidance and comfort? So we see them affected completely. So if you're weary, if you need rest, if your mind is running nonstop, if you can't sleep, I would say two things are going on. Either the Lord's working on you, or you're running. You're running away from what you should be doing. If the Lord's working on you, if you can't, if you're here and you're lost and you can't sleep and you can't eat. Yesterday was 14 days ago that I was saved. 14 years ago that I was saved. And 14 years ago, I couldn't sleep. Because I knew that if I died, I was going to hell. And whether you believe that or not, you're wrong. You're going to go to hell if you leave here without accepting Jesus Christ in your life. And He can provide you a rest. He can provide you a refuge. And I slept. 14 years ago, I slept and I rested. And the first night I laid my head down on July 1st, 2009, I didn't worry. Though I may have doubted, certainly let thoughts of my salvation be doubted as life has went on by the devil entertaining those, you can't take that peace away. That peace when you know the Lord saved your soul. You can't take that peace away. Verse 13 ends with, when the people had heard of Jesus and the disciples, when they had heard of them, they followed after them on foot out of the cities. They came, they flocked out of the cities. 5,000 men plus women and children. It's a lot of people. And verse 14 says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. Jesus has compassion for us all. And He has enough compassion to go around. He was moved with compassion. He was tending to these disciples, offering rest, offering them refuge. And He had compassion. And typically, a three-generational problem with us preachers and our families were long-winded. So I've cut out a lot of what I wanted to reference. But there's a lot of scriptural references that tie directly into this scripture about compassion and about Jesus having compassion. Just one chapter over, there was another time where the 4,000 were fed and they had already not ate for 3 days. And Jesus didn't want to fast. Didn't want them to fast. So he fed them. But Jesus has compassion when you are in need. We're this race or this humankind that wants to pray when we need something and not pray when we don't. And Jesus still has compassion. So Jesus is enough and will have enough compassion for our needs. Jesus has a healing power. My third point. He's the great physician. Verse 14, same thing. It ends with, and he healed their sick. What kind of healing do you need? Let me ask you this. What kind of healing are you trying to provide to yourself? It may not be you doing it. It may not. I try to be cautious when I say things like this because there are certain circumstances that do exist. But we're living in a world that we think self-help and that self-care and that, you know, there's times where we as a people probably need to talk through our traumas and talk to a right therapist to help us identify things. But I would say a majority of that is us trying to get help and take care of things ourselves and give it over to the Lord. Because He can take care of all things. He has a healing power. And these people that walked to this place were in need, and he healed them. So don't do it yourself. Don't search for it yourself. Seems like I've been searching for myself on how to fix things and how to care for things. And if I can just do this and if I can just do that, just leave it with the Lord. 10 minutes into the sermon this morning, my dad said something, and a thought had crossed my mind, and I just had to leave it. I just had to give it all up. If people don't think when you're saved that that's the only time you submit, you're going to learn a lot. I had to submit it all. I had to do it again this afternoon and finally realize that the Lord is in control of it all. Verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place and the time is now past." You see their panic. The time is past. This is a desert place. There's no food here. There's nothing to eat. "Send the multitude away that we may go, that they may go to the villages and buy themselves victuals." Is this not the same God that just sent them on a missionary journey, a dangerous and difficult missionary journey, and provided all of their needs? My fourth point is Jesus has enough to supply us. This is where we mess up. Without a doubt, I believe this is where we mess up. See, we try to supply ourselves. And back in November at the Thanksgiving conference, I was in a different mindset. I was in the mindset of security. I had laid up financial security. And I felt good about that. And I was still working for more and more financial security. And the Lord convicted me when I was listening to Brother Lafferty's message. Because ironically, my message was about the rich man that tore his barns down and rebuilt his barns and built bigger barns. And the message was entitled, "What's in Your Storehouse? What are you doing with it?" And I had enough in my storehouse, and I wanted more in my storehouse, both financially and physically. And the message that he was getting at is, do you have enough? And boy, am I glad I heard that. As you know, I work in a fickle business that changes. My income can change like that, and it did. And the Lord has taught me just to remember, do I have enough? Not, oh, where's it going to go? And the Lord has provided for me in ways that I've had enough. And in my life, I've had times where I really didn't know where it was going to come from. And it still showed up when I needed it. There's a story, it's actually an audio book based on a survivor of the Holocaust that was obviously saved, and Alyssa was reading through that, and I was listening to it because I loved that era, and I got intrigued by it. And this book was talking about how they didn't get this vial of supplements taken from them. This woman and her sister didn't get this vial of supplements taken from them. And that vial never went dry, supplying to the, I believe, and don't quote me, I know it supplied them, but I believe it supplied to everyone around them. And the Lord never let that vial go dry. And that's the kind of power he has. So where are you putting your trust? Financially, do you have an abundance laid up? That's great for you. But it can go away like that. And if you trust in that too much, it will. And I'm living proof of that. But I've had enough. And that's the spirit that we should have. But how quickly do I fall back into the moment of, I got to get more so that I can have enough? Caution yourself when I becomes part of the conversation. And it's funny to me, when you read verse 15, it was evening, the disciples are saying, go, let them go to the city and buy, because we don't have anything. They're going to kick out this. I mean, why these people, they probably weren't the most, when they came over, they weren't the most well-to-do and physically able people to come to them. That's why Jesus healed the sick and the needy. And I see the disciples coming back from this difficult journey and looking for rest in Jesus. And these people show up in another gospel account that correlates with the scripture. Jesus said, break these people up into the groups of 50 for the 12 disciples. There's 5,000 men. This day the disciples worked when they expected to go to Jesus and find rest. And so, I just find it ironic that the disciples wanted to push this poor and needy group out. Verse 16 says, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. Talk about providing all of our needs. The disciples had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I don't know if they're being a little stingy. You know? I mean, they hadn't provided themselves food. The Lord had been providing it. He always provides it. But they didn't go out and physically provide themselves food while they were on this journey. I don't know about you, but I know about some of the men here at church, and 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes wouldn't go very far with some of us if we were on a journey. And I just think how funny it is. Like, Lord, what are you going to do with this? I mean, I literally laughed at the scripture when I thought, that wasn't going to feed 12 of them, you know? But one cool thing I saw here about when we think about how Jesus provides for all of our needs. Think about these people that left the city. They saw Jesus. They left the cities. They saw Jesus. They followed him. What would present a problem, or what presented the problem, was these people left everything behind to follow Jesus. They didn't pack a lunch. They didn't bring provisions. None of that mattered. They saw Jesus and they followed him. And he provided. Go to Matthew chapter 10 real quick. I want to name these 12 disciples. I want to talk about this mission that they went on to, how they're supported. We're going to read down through at least verse 15, maybe verse 16. And I want you just to notice the direction and how Jesus was enough, how he provided for them. Verse 1 of chapter 10 of Matthew. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither 2 coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thee thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Verse 16 doesn't really apply to what we're talking about, but it's something that we always need to keep in mind. As Christians, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. They had nothing. Not shoes. Nothing. And they went. Think about that the next time you feel like you need something. We definitely live in this culture that makes us feel like we need things. We need to be provided of things. We need a certain amount of financial security. We need a certain amount of investments. The Lord just, He can take it all away. And it's so fast. You know, I could preach on, and it just hit me as I was reading through that again, the workman is worthy of his work. I bet it's really hard for a pastor to preach that when the Lord gives it to him. There's a lot of so-called pastors in the world that would preach that over and over again. Our pastor wouldn't like to preach something that says a workman is worthy for his work, but he is worthy of the work that he's done for this church. And he deserves our blessings, and he deserves our efforts, and our providing for him so that he can continue to work. I didn't even have that in my notes. But as I was telling John on the phone the other night, I said, sometimes the Lord, when you're preaching, the Lord tells you you need to say something, so you just say it. And sometimes you'll have something on a piece of paper, and he says, don't say it, and you don't say it. Verse 16, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Verse 18, he said, bring them hither to me. We as flesh have very short memories of how we're provided for. Very short. I believe the disciples completely forgot about how Jesus just provided everything from them with nothing that they had of their own. So instead of commanding them to send away, he says, feed the people. Instead of trusting and obeying, they doubt Jesus. But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Where are you going to give us this food? If you've ever had a time, and the easiest thing for me that I can ever equate it to is a financial standpoint, when you look down, and I remember Brother Luke bringing this up, the same, not too long ago in a lesson, and he said, I remember crunching the numbers, and they just didn't add up. There wasn't enough. And if you've been there, just think about that. Or if you're there now, just think about that, and let the Lord provide a peace to you if you would just turn these burdens over to Him. And all these things that are on your heart and your mind and these things that fill you and keep you from seeking Him and going after Him, you have to turn them away and let Him do His perfect work. How often do we doubt in the time of need? And then the numbers make sense. I remember having a time when I looked to listen, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. And then I think I overpaid my escrow account and had no idea. The Lord put an escrow check in my mail. And I had enough. And I remember looking at her just after that and saying, I guess we'll just see what the Lord does. And I don't think it was but the next day. And we had no idea. That is a God who provides. That is the same God that we serve. Not only do we doubt, but we can be very selfish. But Lord, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, we need to be a people that aren't afraid to share. You can take that however you want it, but I'm going to give you an example. I'll give you a couple examples. Don't be afraid to share what the Lord has given you. Don't be so stingy. And I'm saying this as somebody that's already had to have it given to me. Don't be so stingy as to say, I can't help you, or I'm not going to help you, or I'm not going to do this because I've worked hard to lay up a certain amount of money in my account. We need to be good stewards. The Bible's clear of that. But if you're pinching pennies to try to add more to what you have, and you have a brother or sister that's struggling, doesn't mean you have to go out and give them $100. But could you go out and buy a coffee for somebody? Buy some ice cream for somebody? Take them out to eat. Invite them to your house. Do something that stops thinking of self and starts thinking of somebody else. Because that's where we're at in the world. And I get so passionate about that because it's not a Christian spirit. We've all been blessed. Each and every one of us here, we're still alive. We're healthy enough to be in church. Everybody drove in a vehicle. We're blessed. Do you have enough? If you do, how can you help somebody that doesn't? Because guess what? You know, for a long time, I was like, all right, I got to listen to what my guy says, and I got to invest X amount of percent into my investments. The reality is, I may not even get to use it. And neither do you. So invest away. But when the Lord comes back, it's all going to burn. I'm not saying you can't be a good steward. But it doesn't matter if you can't help somebody today. You know, we ought to have a desire to fellowship with one another. There is no doubt our church is blessed. And that the Lord helps us in the time of need and helps us get through trials and tribulations. And we ought to have a desire to fellowship with each other and to love each other and to care for each other and to pray for each other and understand. And I believe that that's part of how the Lord provides for our needs. It's how we pray. How we shake hands. I was thinking today after I left, I'm like, I didn't shake Alderman's hands like I normally do. Just even that right hand of fellowship. I went to a church, I don't remember where it was, but during, it might have been Alyssa's church, I don't remember, but during one of the songs, they would have you turn around, they'd say, turn around and shake the person on your left hand, and shake the person on your right hand. It was intimidating. We all know each other very well. I know it was a church I didn't know very well. I don't know if it was Alyssa's or not. But could you do that without feeling a little bit awkward? That may provide something. The Lord may provide something through you to somebody just by the right hand of fellowship, just by conversation. I really didn't know what I was going to preach, but having a conversation that I did and just merely talking, the Lord provided for me what to preach. So He provides for us. Now, I forgot my watch, so we're getting close. But two more points, very quickly. Jesus' power is enough to perform miracles. Verse 18, He said, bring them hither to me. And He commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And He took five loaves and the two fishes. And looking up to heaven, He blessed it and He brake it. And He gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. He fed His disciples full. He fed this people full. He healed this people. And he provided an abundance of leftovers. That's where we're at today. I believe everything in life, when you really dig down to it, we have an abundance. And our problems are usually our problems that we've created. They're self-inflicted. I know mine are. But when you really get down to it, you have an abundance. So he fed 5,000 men, plus women, and children. I don't remember which one of you Sunday school teachers told me. Might have been Sister Sarah. She had a math problem for it. I'm pretty sure it was Sister Sarah. And we figured out to be like, what we said, oh, we estimated 16,000 people. It's a lot of food. It's a lot of work for the disciples. But it was the Lord's work. It seems like everything we do is a missionary journey in and of itself. How we leave this building, how we go out, how we represent ourselves, how we're ready, as was said this morning, to give testament. So Jesus can provide for our abundance. How often is that not enough? That abundance that he provides that he doesn't have to. How often is that not enough? My final point, Jesus is enough. If you're here and you're lost today, and you continuously reject the Bible, you continuously reject its teachings, you continuously reject the Lord, that he went to the cross, that he died for you, that he died on the cross for your sins. And if you don't come to realize just how simple it really is to understand that you are a sinner. You know, I used to hear this. I would sit somewhere over here, you know, in the church building, and I would hear this, and I would just take this big gulp. Because I didn't want to hear it. Because it would keep me up at night. Because I would try to figure out ways to not believe it. Because I didn't want to leave my friends behind. I didn't want to leave all these things in life that I had. And it was uncomfortable. And it is uncomfortable. Sin is uncomfortable. So if you're here and you're lost, maybe you see yourself as a sinner. Maybe you're struggling somewhere. Maybe the Lord's working on you. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is enough for you. He can provide your very need. Repent. Understand you are a sinner. Repent. Do not wait. July 1st, 2009, I had been struggling hard for almost 3 years. Several things that came up over the time. I remember roofing this building maybe in 2007 or something like that. I think it was Brother Eric and Brother Chris Horn were talking to me about it. And I just said, yeah, I just can't sleep at night. I'm scared. And July 1st, 2009, I was working on that barn in Pettisville that's 2 miles from my house now. I was working with my grandpa. And then his fashion, he sat down on the tailgate of that truck that was parked right next to the ladder so he didn't have to go real far to watch me. And he said, what are you waiting for? What's wrong? That look, you know that look he used to do. And I said, I know I'm a sinner. I was honest about that. I know I'm a sinner. I've asked him to forgive me. I don't know how to trust him. And that's a lot of what this message talks about. There's still an I in there. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, you know you're going to hell." "Yeah. Yeah." And he said, "Well, just go to hell trusting that you know Jesus as your Savior. And you'll never go to hell." And I climbed that 40-foot extension ladder and didn't say a word. And 14 years later, the Lord is still working on me. And He has been enough for me. And I'm not perfect. And don't claim to be. But He was enough. Repent while you can. Brother Derek.